question on Instagram. You guys see self-improvement as a lifelong journey.
Of course, right? Self-improvement has to be you are improving day by day, trying to be a better version of yourself. And why would you ever want that to end?
So do I see it as a long-term thing? Yeah, I'm going to be 7 years old, still trying to read books, better man, reading the word. Of course, yeah, it's a lifelong journey.
Amen. Aaron Golden, entrepreneur, business consultant, this thing, people don't like abundance, they like the awareness of abundance. So when you read the Bible, you start to see yourself in a lot of verses. Like, for example, it says, not lie, you see yourself there. Like, you can either close that Bible and never pick it up ever again because it's hurting your emotions, or you can pick it up to sharpen yourself. God will sharpen you if you want to hear the truth.
Sets you free.
Dude, what are the chances? So this is what happened. Before we start the podcast, Mike picked this card out, and now I just randomly picked this out, and it's the same question. If you were Peter, what would you have done when the soldiers came or to arrest Jesus? Yo, tell them what you said. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bros Think Big. It's just us three once again.
Hello.
Before we give shout out to Division One, I just want to mention something to you guys, which I found very interesting, is you guys wouldn't see this video. We posted a clip of Isaiah speaking about medicine and what's going on in that industry since he was part of it at some point of his life. So he was pretty much talking that the whole pharmaceutical companies and medicine is set out to keep people trapped into, you know, paying more money and start taking those, not really to get healthy, but you know, be addicted to it. People are not really healing. And the doctors, some doctors don't really care much. And the system is built like that. Maybe the person who works there really wants to help people, but the system itself is built on different intentions. So we post that video on TikTok. And in the caption, I wrote the truth about medicine and the agenda on it. It got taken down. So it's very interesting because this is not the first time this type of video got taken down. From TikTok, especially TikTok, though it happens on TikTok a lot. We had the situation happen to us on other platforms too. Is usually the sensitive topics or things that have to do with mass propaganda and agendas are usually the ones that get taken down. So they really, whether you're big or small, I thought when you're small and you get like 800 views, 500 views, they wouldn't really care much. But it kind of makes sense because you never know how that video is going to do or when it's going to go viral. So it's interesting how they try to shut down those type of information. But that's why we're here on YouTube on a full episode talking about this stuff. So yeah, boys, what are we talking about today?
What's Division One? Are we not giving a...
Oh yeah, Division One. Sorry about that. Mike, take on.
So right here, we have a supplement that I personally use. It's a multivitamin. I've been using this multivitamin for the last 6 months or so. I've been having multivitamins for the past year and a half, but this one like honestly stood out to me. And we have it in the link in the description if you want to go check it out. It's not just your normal multivitamin. It has pretty much every single multivitamin, but it's pretty much in a form of beef organs. And beef organs have like every single micronutrient that you need in order to thrive. And so a lot of multivitamins are kind of underdosed. So this one is not overdosed, but it's just the right amount that you need. Especially if you're an athlete, a bodybuilder, you need to recover really quickly. I recommend this. If you want some, it's in the link in the description.
Let me take one right now.
And you're an affiliate too, right? So yeah, supporting Mike as well.
You don't support me. You support the podcast. So if you guys want to go check it out, it's in the description.
What happens if I take one right now?
Take one right now. Show them the pill.
So wait, how are you supposed to take it? Like, or so how many?
You
how
take
many
four
times?
At a time.
You serious?
You take four at a time. Take one. I'll be uneven, but it's okay.
It's testicles too, right? Testicles, heart, liver.
It's testicle, heart, kidney, liver. Yeah.
Kidney, liver, yeah.
That might scare some people, but...
testosterone, right?
Yeah, it's all the good natural peptides as well. Creatine.
On camera.
How do you feel?
Yo, do you feel the boost?
Good.
It didn't kick in yet.
No, I definitely feel difference like versus days like where I do take this, I don't take this. Like before I started taking supplements... I personally just had it all comes with diet and lifestyle. Number one, too, like you shouldn't just take any sort of supplement. But when I took these, I definitely felt a difference with like sustained energy and just like faster recovery, in my opinion. So go check it out.
Okay. So boys, what are we talking about today? What is the topic?
Well, we have a little question from someone on Instagram. Shout out to Landon. He asked us this.
Shout out to Landon.
And so he asks, do you guys see self-improvement as a lifelong journey?
Yes, brother. Of course. Right?
Yeah, of course.
I think it's this question can be taken on a surface level, but if we were to dive deep into this question and not just answering yes, which obviously is the answer, I would say sometimes people might have a wrong understanding of self-improvement. And we did too at some point. We thought it was all about the show of doing the habits, doing the same stuff over and over again every day, whether that would be habit trackers, cold showers, some kind of physical activity in the morning, like as soon as you get up, reading book, or not going on your phone. Yeah, these are all good and it will develop.
But these things are a part of us now, don't you think?
It is.
It's not like we have to focus on these things. Exactly. You just do it.
Right. And that's where those habits jump into now that becoming your identity is now you're not mindless anymore. Mm. So self-improvement has to be what the word itself emphasizes, self-improvement. You are improving day by day and over time. You are not just giving yourself excuses to not grow as a person mentally, physically, spiritually. So you're constantly every day trying to be a better version of yourself. And why would you ever want that to end? Now, people this is why you would even ask that question, right? I'm not saying Landon did this, but some people do really ask that too, because it's like, oh, should I even do self-improvement all the time or as a lifelong commitment? I mean, of course, do you want to improve every day? Do you want to be a better version of yourself, in your life or not? And the simple answer is yes, of course.
I agree.
Yeah, you agree.
Man.
And so, I mean, what I would say to this is that, like he said, like, it's a part of, like, you're right. It's a part of our identity now. And we're still, like, self-improvement. We still do, like, some of the habits. We still kind of do different things as well to kind of test ourselves. And we always just try to gain more and always just try to be better, right? There's always things that I'm personally lacking in that I could be better at. So do I see this as a long-term thing? Yeah, I'm going to be 7 years old, still trying to read books, still trying to get better, still just, like, trying to be a better man. So, I mean, reading the word, being a better person for my friends and my family, of course, yeah, it's a lifelong journey.
Amen. And I think what's important too, before we move on, is really, really understanding that it's not just what you learn and what you do, but doing it mindfully. I know a lot of people, and I've been in this situation too, where maybe the goal was 10 pages of the book, but more than that, it has to be what you learn when you read those 10 pages.
Not just the checkbox, right?
Right. It's not just to complete it. It's not just to post on the story, I'm doing something that has to do with self-improvement. I'm making videos that is about self-improvement. No, like, are you really living it? Are you trying your best to be the best version of yourself and really using that for the benefit of the world and benefit of your family and everybody else around you? If not, then I think it's just a coping mechanism to show to the world or people around you that you are productive when in reality, you're really not taking the information that you're learning or even applying it into your day-to-day basis, because what is knowledge without experience or applying it to your day-to-day basis? It's just empty
thoughts, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So what is, Georgie, what is another, what is a big topic that we wanted to cover today as an episode discussion?
If you remember.
Did I put him on the spot?
Stress, right?
Told you twice.
Trusting God when you're in stress, right? Yeah, I want to really emphasize the mindset aspect of this, because yesterday I saw this video. What's the guy's name?
Pull up, yeah.
Yeah, can you pull that up?
Not it.
No, there was a quote. Remember,
Whoa.
I don't think his name is on there, but oh yeah, Myron Golden.
Yeah.
He's an entrepreneur and a business consultant, and he does a bunch of stuff. But he said this thing, which I found very beautiful, is people don't like abundance, which a lot of people think they do. People don't like abundance. They like the awareness of abundance, the access to abundance.
That's around them.
And yeah, exactly. That's around them. So what he's trying to emphasize in that point is really people stressing that, oh, I don't have this or that, and that's why I'm not happy, or why should I be satisfied? Why should I be happy? Why should I, you know, I guess be thankful when I don't have the things that I want to achieve yet? But that's just you limiting yourself to, you know, the abundance that you have today. Just the fact that you woke up, the fact that you have food on the table, you have a roof over your head. And this doesn't mean that you need to be complacent and get content with things and say, I'm done. As long as I have food on the table, I have a car to drive. I mean, that's not what the point is. But when you get to those simple things, you are humble and you have a true understanding on what living in the present and abundance really means. Because just the fact that somebody didn't get to wake up, somebody doesn't have a food on the table, somebody doesn't have a roof over their head, but you do, that just starts your day off with a good mindset and a positive thinking. And even less throughout the day, that you have something to be grateful for. Now let me do something to make this world a better place. Make people around me happy. You know what I mean? And shape the world into a better world that it can be. It starts from the simple things. I really do believe that. Sometimes the secret is really in the simple things. This guy I saw in the gym too. You know when people wear the fake leg, the robotic leg?
Yeah.
They don't have a leg? Yeah, like things like that. And I was thinking to myself, when we complain about things and we say, oh, I don't have this and that, like what would it be like living in that person's shoes? You know how many things you're just falling behind on that you just can't do because you don't have a leg or you don't have a hand? And I think we just don't think about it as seriously as I don't think we should necessarily be thinking about that all the time, because that can get you into negative thinking. But I think it's important to remind ourselves what to be grateful for and what are the things that actually matter. Because let's be honest, just the fact that you woke up, you have an opportunity, and that's where it starts. Don't be stressing about what's going to happen tomorrow or a year later from then. Get to that point. Even you might not even be here next year, God forbid, right? So why worry about something that you have no control over? You can only control the controllable. So how do we help people develop that positive mindset, especially when you almost are in a cycle of negative thinking or stress and anxiety into, okay, no, how do I find myself in a successful position, right?
Yeah. So as you were talking about that, I was really thinking about how I feel like people's egos kind of get in the way of abundance and gratitude and surrendering yourself to the process of what your daily life looked like.
Yep.
Do you guys ever had like a point in like your journey, like where you didn't have an ego?
Bring it closer.
You had like an ego, yeah. You kind of like, you looked at your ego.
Those are the best days.
From like the outside of it. And like, you were just, yeah. You were selfless. You were just like kind of like there. You weren't really worried about your own suffering.
Yeah. Like you're serving and you're giving and you're just in the moment, not worry about, okay, what is there for me? Those mm-hmm. are the best days.
Cause I feel like people, they suffer selfishly versus suffering selflessly.
Yeah. That's
it. I think there's a big difference, because let's just say like people, they suffer selfishly because it makes them feel like
they're entitled.
They're entitled to their own manufactured suffering. Like for example, like I could easily have suffered like in high school, like easily like put my mindset and be like, oh, I'm struggling with this, or after work or after school, like I'm super depressed and I don't know what to do with myself. It's like, that's just my ego being selfish of not looking around me, looking at all the abundance I had in my life. Exactly. Like I really had nothing to complain about. I was just like yapping. That's how I know it's my ego, when I no longer see the abundance in my life.
Right. And once you don't go outside of the perspective on what you actually couldn't have in your life, but you do have, such as a nice house, right? Living in a good neighborhood. Driving a car, having your own car.
Yeah.
And when you go outside of the perspective saying, no, I really couldn't have any of that. I really couldn't. I mean, you could be born in a household where you were super poor, you didn't have anything. And we could all be in those places, right? Where our parents left us or something, or that we were born without a leg, like, or some defect that you can't have control over and live with that for the rest of your life, right? But we don't. So when you go outside of, like you said, ego, that is, I think, the only time you can really, really appreciate what you have.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is very self-afflicting. A lot of it is that the devil whispering in your ear saying, look, you don't have that. Oh, look, you can't be that because of this and that. The excuses, right? God tells us otherwise. Like, okay, well, let's ask ourselves, right? Same with that. The self-entitlement, I think that's a big one. People have the self-entitlement. I want to be successful. I want to have money. Why should you have money? What are you doing to have money, right? And that's not something only to give advice on, but that's something to ask ourselves as well, is why does Sadullah deserve to have money? Why does he deserve to have millions? I think if I deserved it, so to speak, I would have it. That means that, because look, let's think about it, right? If I were to have the knowledge and the experience of getting that much money and the skill set, I would definitely have it, right?
What if it's
but I'm just not there yet. What is it?
What if it's not your purpose for
it? Yeah, well, if it's not my purpose, that's if God hasn't given me that purpose, I will eventually find out. But look, what this is, okay, how about this? With the evidence that I have,
I feel like you can't be consistent with that mindset saying, what does Sadullah do that makes him have, or what does Sadullah do or doesn't do,
right,
that puts him in a situation that he is right now? Because you can't be consistent with that either, because there could be someone that works hard, but, you know, still lives a normal life.
Okay. Okay.
But
let's break it down then. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's stages to it. So it's a form of self-accountability, but it should not be, a detriment to yourself and telling yourself that because you don't have this and that, you're a nobody. So it should be a self-accountability that, okay, when I demand something, because, you know, I was at some point where I was like, I should have this. Like, why don't I have it? Like, this person has it, that person has it. And, you know, it is a form of envy. It really is. But then you never ask, I never ask the question saying, what does that person that has such and such do that I don't do? That is going outside of my feelings, my emotions, and my standards to trying to see from that person's perspective. It's the same example. If you haven't failed 5 times, 10 times, 20 times, how do you expect to learn something when I only failed once? I look at you and let's say you're very good at basketball. Obviously, you weren't always good at it. You built that up. You put in the work, the discipline, the hard work. And I'm here standing. It's my first week of playing basketball. I'm saying, why am I not as good as Georgie? That's just my ego and my pride. Why, if I come up to you and ask you, Georgie, how long have you been doing this? And what is your day-to-day life? You tell me I train twice a day, every day, consistently, every morning, and like probably around 3 o'clock or something. And for me, I sleep in, I don't put that much work, but I expect something out of it. It's that self-accountability, is putting your pride aside and saying, all right, I want to have it, sure, but then why should I, right? What do you think about that?
No, totally, I agree. You're still supposed to put in work, because without work, you really can't get anything, right? Nothing. Like, you know, you got to put a little bit of work to even have a relationship with God. If you don't talk to him, if you don't read the word, if you don't pray to him, you don't necessarily, you can't have a relationship with him, because if I don't look for things to get to him and talk with him, how am I supposed to have a conversation with God if I don't talk to him, if I don't start the conversation, if I don't seek God, you know what I mean? So 100%, yeah, I agree. Like, I feel like you're still supposed to put in work, do what is right. So that's why, you know, since we're talking about that guy you brought up, like, what does he do though? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because
I only watched probably, you know, like two of his videos. He said he's a business consultant. So he pretty much helps business scale and grow, right? Okay. And he has a good mindset. He has a very good mindset on his belief and his faith in God too. He claims that he doesn't use profanity, and in the videos I've watched, he's not using bad words whatsoever. He's speaking very professionally. He has a very positive mindset on money too. And a lot of the times, successful people do have good mindset on money. It's like they don't chase money. That's one thing I noticed about successful people and people who make money is they don't chase money. They attract money. And now
it's just a byproduct of what they give to the world.
But then there was this another guy who this kid interviewed. I don't know his name on YouTube, but he pretty much this guy what he's doing, and the guy sitting in Ferrari, and he got into a business that was kind of first getting started, and he was selling weed. It was one of the plant that had to do with smoking and stuff like that, transporting all that kind of stuff. That guy also makes money, right? And this guy's interviewing him, and now that guy has a good mindset on how to make money, so to speak, meaning put in the work, do this and that. But his approach and the steps are not godly, right? And I mean, even he said that. He goes, how do you negotiate? And he goes, I don't really negotiate. If you don't want to make a deal with me, then you don't have a deal. It's either my way or a highway. I understand where you're coming from. If you have something good to sell to somebody, they either take it or leave it. But like that's such that type of mindset where you don't say I don't negotiate is who are you not to negotiate? Like who do you think you are that you're entitled? And look, maybe you are, but I doubt it. That you have something so special that other people are not even worth, bringing down your price or meeting them somewhere halfway. You know what I mean? So there's that two perspectives from people who make money. Based on the evidence that I have from those videos and from what I've heard from them. So, you know, there's just a bunch of ways that you can make money and a bunch of ways that you can serve people. But I think at the end of the day, though, the deep question is you either serve yourself or you serve others. You can serve others and make money. You can serve yourself and also make money. People say they serve others when they make money, even if they sell like drugs and all that type of stuff, right? Because obviously you give something to somebody, they give it back. But what is it that you're selling, right? You know, a lot of the times people sell even like protein shakes or they sell like protein snacks, but they're really not healthy at all. I mean, it says 18 grams of protein on this small bag of chips, but it's just like, what are you getting that protein? It's definitely not quality meat. It's just processed stuff that's just processed stuff in there. Now, I understand there's a lot of money coming in because people want to, you know, make sure that they get those enough grams of proteins during the day and the calories in and all that type of stuff. But what is it that you're selling them that will benefit them long-term? Not just the fact that, okay, I hit my protein goal. I mean, is that really all to it? Because I look at food very differently. I mean, we all do here. Is food is just more than something that satisfies your needs and pleases your stomach, so to speak, that now you feel good after eating food. Like, no, dude, that is your
source of energy
and clarity and, you know,
You don't eat something to make you feel good. Longevity, you eat something because you need it, right? So right. In this case, there's a lot of things like raw milk. What else? Salmon. In my opinion, I don't really like salmon. I don't like how the
but
way.
You
it
like
tastes,
raw
but,
milk, right?
But I like raw milk. Yeah.
Good. Oh, good answer.
Try it.
And then it's not like really. Maybe doesn't taste as good as processed milk. Probably doesn't taste as good as Chick-fil-A or other fast food places. But it's healthier. So when you start to look at things and, you know, put them on a scale and understand, yes, it doesn't taste as good, but it's so healthy and it does so much more than just taste, then you start to understand that it's not about how it tastes. Just the same way with doing the right things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might see that it's not probably the best thing that happens to you when you start serving other people, right? But you know it's the right thing to do.
Right.
So that way your reason is so strong. And then other things are already secondary in your case, and that's with everything. You know, if you want to prioritize how do you feel, then you start to serve your own self, start to become prideful, and start thinking about, yo, like it's about me, bro. Like I respect my time more than I respect other people's time, and then you start becoming prideful, and you go out of your way less.
Right.
But
It's really the, just like putting things on scale and making the decision, how do you want to live your life? Now, my whole idea with that, like, it's not your calling or it's not your reasoning, it's like completely different topic. Of course, we even had that episode, you know, specifically about that. But what I'm trying to say is, like, when I see stuff like that, I also want to look at it and you know, ask why or ask how things are, you know, how do you make $1 million, $15 million? That's a lot of money that is. In a year. Now, the question isn't like that guy doing it right or not, because he might be doing it right or wrong. But look, my understanding is you're making that much money a year. And in order for you to reach that amount, you got to understand it's $15 million, right? That's a lot of money. That means you are still supposed to be doing something that, you know, it could really be bad. Like, I'm just saying, it could really just be like, yeah, I can come out online and say, you know, everything that I do right. I don't curse. You know, I try to serve people. We don't know that though, right? So that's why online could be tricky. And you're not necessarily like being negative about it and saying, yo, like, this guy's probably lying about it, but you want to be realistic at the point. If somebody comes up to me and tells me, yo, dude, I eat McDonald's every single day and I still look this good. You know, I eat all this shit food. I eat all this bad food and I look how good I look. Or Liver King in this case. He said he was eating all this...
junk food?
No, not junk food. Okay. He was actually eating very healthy food, like liver, raw milk, all this type of stuff.
I've never seen
that. But he was looking like jacked because he was on steroids. There's other things that he was doing that got him that results. So that was literally done in online. If he was to be transparent and say everything that he did, it wouldn't give us much value. And if everybody looked at it and trusted him and said, you know, this guy is probably not lying, you know, everybody would become blind to it and nobody would actually see what resulted him to get that. I don't know what
truly got him to. Yeah, like people. Yeah, sure.
There's always two sides of the coin. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that guy making money he's doing anything like really
against
bad.
Against
serving God. But then he has to be doing something in favor of him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be making that much money. If you truly understand what business is, you actually have to start thinking about like that. Like that's how I look at business, in my opinion.
Do you think we still got to learn a little bit more about how the money works?
I probably don't know, but that's what I'm trying to say.
Listening to these guys, online
is a tricky business too. You're hearing them talk about it. You never know what the actual truth is. Really don't.
Because Mike, I want to know your opinion on this too. Because when I hear, you know, him interviewing these people, the way they talk about some of the things is actually, you know how somebody who doesn't know, like, I guess how to make, let's say, 300K a year per se, for them, that might be like a lot of money. But then when you go to a millionaire, a billionaire, they're going to say 300K, $300 type of thing. So where do you think people that you've listened to that are successful, we even met some in person like Joe, Roman, and Lance too, is like, where do you think that mindset develops into looking at high numbers as if it's really not that high?
Yeah.
I think at some point, in order to do that, you have to have that mindset.
Yeah, I mean, well, it is a mindset. That's exactly what it is. It's once you reach a certain point, you become desensitized to it. Like a person who's making $1 million a year, like to someone else, it's like, oh my gosh, like I'd be set for the rest of my life, versus this person who's like, no, I need $2 million, $3 million. So once he makes that first $1 million a year, he is desensitized to it. It's like, it's human nature to just want, like, you already get satisfied with what you have already. So you always just like strive for more. And it's like these people in their mind, they have a mindset where it's like, okay, I'm a person who already makes this amount of money. Like they have like that, it's like an identity sort of thing. It's like, oh, like, you know, like we do the self-improvement habits and people might look at us and be like, yo, like, how do you keep up with all these things? Like, it's crazy. It's the same thing with like money. Like you reach a certain point, just a part of you. It's like, oh, I just make 300K easy every single month. But it's just the progression.
But I feel like at the same time, the way I'm looking at it is also like if you were to take self-improvement hungriness versus money hungriness is very two different things, because when you start to focus on the materialistic things that don't matter versus what actually matters, which helps you physically be healthy, mm-hmm. Mentally and spiritually be healthy when you track the habits, right? For example, but you know, chasing money won't really...
It's empty.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. So,
but eventually like, self-improvement is
it
empty.
It matters. How?
It can get to a point. It's empty because you don't really care about yourself as much as you care about other people.
So you meaning now, like so you're it's doing like it for other people.
You don't just improve for yourself. It gets to a point where it's like, yeah, you're improving for yourself, but eventually it's like, I want to do this for other people. Like I need to become a better person. I need to become a person for my future family. I need to be a leader for my team around me. I need to be a leader for my business, my friends. Exactly. So it's, there comes a point where it's like, yeah, like you improve yourself. Like I don't really care about like, it's I care about myself, but I don't really like pay myself any mind that much. You know what I'm saying? Like, this quote, you know, you guys know Miyamoto Musashi.
Yes, sir.
Said it on here. He said, think lightly of yourself, but deeply of the world. So it's like, take yourself lightly and don't obviously listen to the ego. Don't think of yourself like this deep, like you're entitled. You're this person who's just like, oh, me, me, me. Like that's the same thing with self-improvement. Like you get to a point where it's like, you can't go any deeper. That's why you need to just do it for the things around you. And it's more fulfilling than doing it just for yourself.
That's what I've noticed too. Does that make sense? Especially now digitally and stuff, a lot of the times, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've noticed a lot of people, most of their source of income nowadays, at least one is online marketing in terms of their schools or some kind of program that they have, the website where they sell their courses or these. Almost every single person that's successful has some kind of community where they sell that to or their mentors themselves, because you know, when that guy comes out and gets millions of views, his video got 152 million views.
152?
Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine how
million?
Many, yeah.
Wow.
Can you imagine how many people would, you know, search him up, look him up, listen to him, look into his course, all that type of stuff, because they saw some kind of value in it. Now, if they don't like something in there or they're saying, oh, I don't like really resonate with this guy, so on and so forth, obviously they wouldn't buy the course. But the idea is, he definitely had something to offer in that video that people were interested. True colors will be exposed, in my opinion. That's why you have to be a person that has the righteous discernment on somebody and really, really be invested into discovering somebody's soul and who they are as a person, then trying to focus so hard on what they have and what they possess to the point where now you could care less who they are as a person, even if they treat you bad. I'm working with this guy that makes millions of dollars. Why should I care who he is as a person or how he treats me? I get my money. That's just you using him and he's using you. Why should you want to be in that environment, right? Because you're pretty much accepting to get used by somebody else and let them use you however they want to. And now you're doing the same. Are you really treating each other as human beings or are you just treating each other as mere objects and just... somebody to snatch something from. And then he builds the unhealthy relationships, all this kind of stuff. But I really like how you brought up that same thing with like, people are very surprised. Like, yo, how do you eat healthy, bro? How do you do this and that? And one thing I want to mention, which I want to know you guys' opinion too, is when I DoorDash sometimes and I go to restaurants like or fast food places even, like McDonald's, Burger King, they have all these ads. Like, and there have been times where I was hungry and stuff, but I swear, bro, I did not have craving for that food. I would rather not eat than eat that. Yeah. Because like you said too, on, I think it was Lance's episode, right? When you look at food like that, is it really food, right? Like what is your definition of food? Is that really food? I don't think it's food. I really don't. Even the taste of it, it doesn't taste like you're eating food. You get to that point where you're so used to eating real food that your stomach and your mind and your mouth like literally understands what a real food feels like in your mouth. Same with raw milk. Raw milk actually tastes like something.
Processed tastes like milk.
Milk doesn't
milk
taste
is supposed
like
to taste.
Yeah.
Processed.
Creamy.
Yeah.
Right.
Greasy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Not greasy. But
not greasy, creamy. But like creamy. Fat. Like, yeah. Like fat. Like yeah. Yeah, you can taste the fat on it.
So what do you, like, can you maybe go
off.
Further or like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
are
the whole thing.
Like that too?
Yeah, dude, it's the whole thing with being desensitized. And Mitch asked me the other day, Mitch has been on the podcast before, but he asked me the other day, he's like, he's trying to strike up a conversation. He's like, yo, I was like, what do you do for like a cheat meal? And like, I kept
trying he asked me that too before.
I kept trying to think. I said, just like, I said the word itself is a contradiction. Like, I don't really like, I don't think about a cheat meal. I don't really have that in my life. And like, some people don't get that. They're like, what do you mean? Like, you don't understand. Like, what do you do then? Like, how do you eat? Like, what do you eat? And even some people on the internet, like some people, they defend processed and junk food so much. Like they try to fight for it to be in their diet and to fit it in their calories. It's just like, what are we doing here? Like, you're just a fiend. Like, just, you're just hungry for this thing that just made you addicted. And the whole thing with
being, and you're being tempted every day by it. And
exactly. I think, it's I around
that,
you.
That could be a temptation too, like cheat meals, because bodybuilders actually do that a lot. They have a whole like diet throughout the week, and then at the end of the week they have a cheat meal. Like, they literally eat it. It's like they're being programmed to eat cheat meals every week.
Yeah, but
I swear, literally,
and they put themselves in that position
exactly
too,
yeah,
where the real food doesn't feel like real to them. That's why they have a craving to then eat something at the end of the week. Usually it's the weekends, right, where, or the rest day, where they just literally buy all kinds of junk food, crumble cookies, Five Guys, Burger King, all these places, and they just go crazy in there. And I think to have a mindset on, okay, you know, my friends invited me somewhere, or I want to get something real quick, like crumble cookies or dessert like that, I think that's fine. But in my opinion, to have a day where you're saying, all right, this is going to be my cheat day, cheat meal.
You're already planning to like cheat yourself. Fuck that.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Like, the word itself, cheat meal, is, now that I think about it, is pretty funny word.
Even the word junk food.
Yeah.
Processed food.
Yeah.
Like, we're defending this type of stuff. It's like, why?
Right. To the point where, you know, nothing's wrong with, you know, considering that in your diet. Well, how about this? Nothing is wrong with having it every now and then when you go out or something. But to say that nothing's wrong with implementing that in your diet, I think that is a problem. That you're really trying to have a schedule where you're saying, this will be a day where every week, every month, and this day, I'm going to have this.
Dude, I also think that people have too much time on their hands to worry about food. Like,
maybe that too.
Like, like for me personally, like, yes, like I might be like a little bit not crazy with food, but like, I care about what I eat and how I eat it, but I'm not too worried about eating junk food. I'm not like worried about it tasting good all the time and it just nourishing me. Like, I'm not worried about that. Like, I have other things to worry about. I have like career. I have the podcast. I have like personal a life training, outside of just eating food. And I feel like little things like that where you're just so worried about the next cheat meal. It's like, there's bigger things to worry about than that. Like, what's your spiritual health like?
Yeah, like in an easy way to put it without making it seem like cheat meal necessarily is a like how dare you eat that? That's not what we're trying to say. I'm pretty sure. I think it's like the same idea of chasing money and chasing cheat meals, which people do. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's where the problem is. If I start chasing money, go out of my way to reach that. Like just to the chase number? Money and the number, the same thing with cheat meals, right? Like, kind of chasing that feeling of like,
when am I eating, next going to have
eating a fast food and like literally eating like 10 burgers just so you could like feel like you're, I don't know. You know, like bodybuilders basically, like they
hold themselves back 10 from
burgers from McDonald's or something, and they try to eat it as much as they can. Because because they know the whole other week they have to go through this strict diet. You know what I mean? So at that point, I think it's very unhealthy because you're chasing that feeling to stuff yourself with processed food.
Right. Not only for your body, but also for your mind, is you're chasing that high, which is in reality just in your head.
And in a sense, it gives a bad example to the next generation, because then what they do is they do the same thing. They work out a whole week and then they go like, oh, cheat meal time, and they start eating really bad. Next thing you know, they're addicted to this stuff. You know, the next week it's probably going to be on Friday instead of Sunday. And then after that, it's going to be on Wednesday. It's going to go slow, slow, slow. And then they're probably going to start eating junk food every single day.
Right.
So
crumble cookies.
It's literally
like
really playing with fire, bro. Like, I don't know. I really don't like the idea of chasing that feeling. Like, Every once in a while, it's fine. Nobody. Yeah. But then it also matters every once in a while. What do you eat? How do you eat? Right?
Yeah.
Our understanding of cheat meal is if we go out with our friends, probably order a pizza, right? Like right. two pizzas, that's it.
Right.
Not like crumble cookies, McDonald's, Burger King, pizzas, all this junk food and just throw it on the table.
Right. And we make sure that we don't invite that type of thing, like going out and eating pizza, as a habit or as something. Yo, when are we doing this next? It's a very spontaneous thing. Like, I remember it was me, Georgie, and this Georgie, the producer, and our one friend, and we were very hungry after the gym. And on Fridays, me and Georgie fast on not eating meat. And, you know, we don't really get to see this friend because that often. He only comes back on the weekends sometimes if he has time because he's away in college. So if he's with us and stuff, we really enjoy his company and we don't really get to spend time together like that. So it was just like, yo, should we just get something to eat? And at that time, it was when we were leaving the gym, so around 9:30 to 10, and not a lot of places are open where we can just have a lot of options for restaurants, and this was on Friday too. So we said, all right, let's go to Aldo's Pizzarama, it's called the pizza place. So we went there, but it wasn't a planned thing. It wasn't like, yo, this week when you come back, let's get pizza. It's like, I would rather have him over here and, you know, cook some steak.
Make your own pizza. Or
make my own pizza, that type of stuff. And then saying, yo, let's just go out and get pizza.
It's really just being honest with yourself how often you do it. What's your motive behind it? How healthy your mindset towards this certain thing is.
I think it's a thing too. Like, what is your relationship with that thing? Like, exactly. With money, with food, with your vices, with your friends? Like, what is the relationship like with all these different things? Like, for example, when it comes to money, like, I'm in a fortunate situation where I don't have to pay my rent, right? That's a great situation.
Oh yeah.
So how I look at money is like, that problem is out of way, but I do have other problems where it's like, you mean I need to build my future and to save up money. I still need to make money.
Yeah.
Or the same thing with food. I need to obviously eat the right foods and stuff like that. So it's like how you use these things. Like, are you using it as an escape? Am I making money just to, like, is it empty? Like, is it like an empty sort of path? Or is it just,
I want a Lamborghini. I want a nice house. For what?
Yeah,
myself. Yeah. Just to.
And I don't even think those materialistic things are bad. It's just like, it's like where you put that in your.
It's like, what's the why? What's the motive of having a Lambo?
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, I wouldn't say personally, my motive is to have a Lambo. I would want to have a Lambo, right? It would be cool, but the motive isn't, yo, let me just go make money so I can afford that Lambo. Does that make sense? That's not enough.
It's right. Like an empty path.
Right.
Just say, it's the same thing with like self-improvement, like in checking off those boxes. It's like, then what? It's like,
what's next? Right.
Where's the Lambo? Then it's some other.
Yeah. Then it's the next car. A different lifestyle. You know what I mean? So that's why I feel like this world is just so backwards when it comes down to like what you should actually chase. Is you should chase like expending your energy, not receiving so much, but giving.
Yeah. Because
everything that you receive is just a byproduct of what you give out.
Right.
In a sense.
And exactly. And another way is what you receive is somebody else already did something for it. Meaning somebody already put their energy, time into building something and you're just receiving it. Same thing with, you go to a restaurant or things like crumble cookies, all these type of stuff. Somebody invested into that idea and you're just receiving it. So you have to have the discernment that what you, I guess, receive and what you try to expect has to be from a good source. Like, where are you getting the water from? Is it good water? Is it healthy? Is it quality or not? And you have to look at yourself as a vessel of a luxurious car. Do you want to be a luxurious car that puts very good gas in the car so it doesn't break down? You want to be an old Honda Accord that...
I was born with a flat tire, though.
Regular.
I was born with a flat tire, guys. I can't do anything.
You can go repair that, bro.
No.
Yeah, you can.
No, but I just... It's this tire.
You just change the diet and you repair yourself. I was born with a
flat tire. That's funny, yeah. Dude. Put it in perspective. Did you ever hear anybody say that?
I just kind of thought of that. It's the same thing. It's like, creative. But my windshield just cracked. I can't see. It's like, bro, fix your windshield.
Right.
It's like saying, like, oh, dude, but like I'm fat. I can't go to the gym. Like, bro, you go to the gym to not get fat.
Yeah, and it's like the sooner you develop this type of mindset, the better for you. So that way you don't have to, so that way it doesn't build up to something like you being overweight. And then it feels overwhelming to cut all that weight. Because, dude, I mean, just to put myself in those shoes, right? Not, okay, let's say I do have that mindset, like a good, healthy mindset, and I were to just somehow magically switch to that person's body and just be overweight, right? Obviously, it would be easier to cut that weight because you already have the mindset. That's why mindset is more important, in my opinion, than, like, I guess just merely how you look. Because when you have, when you're strong mentally, physically, it's a little bit easier. When you're physically strong, but mentally you're weak, a lot of things get in the way because, you know, your psychology and stuff isn't very, very good. So it's just like, be very aware if you're listening to this podcast, is you have to be aware that what we're saying makes sense, because when you are unaware of things and just go down that path of eating unhealthy or not having a lifestyle of being serious, selfless, you will be the opposite of that. You don't work out, you will be overweight. You will put on some fat. If not overweight, you will put some kind of fat that you might not be feeling very confident taking your shirt off. If you eat unhealthy, you, down the line, you will be probably feeding on those pills. Or will you will be going to the doctor and you know, asking doctor, oh, what should I take to get rid of my diabetes, these type of stuff, or, you know, drop my blood sugar because you went too far to the point where you've caused yourself this stuff, not because you didn't have no other way, but you were ignorant to the opposite, the other way, the good way, the hard way. It's not always hard when it becomes a habit. So you got to flip that switch and change that identity to tell yourself, I am a healthy person. I am a strong person. It's like, I am motivated.
First time it's a habit, and then it becomes a discipline. For us, first time it was habit,
right?
Habits, a lot of the things we're doing, then it just became a discipline. We're disciplined to do this stuff. We're literally disciplined to eat healthy food. First it was habit. First it was like our mind wanted a pizza, but we had this habit that we had to do, and then we leveled up and it became our discipline. For us now, it's like, if we don't do certain things, it's lack of discipline. That's it. Not because, oh, like, we didn't keep up with the habits. No, like that word itself, habit, transformed into discipline. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
Which is stronger than just a habit.
And I think when it comes to abundance too, like, it's not just about having an abundance of what you currently have, but all the things that you could be and you could have, right?
Right.
Being in that mindset of infinite potential and infinite possibilities for yourself, like believing that, I mean, I'm
not locked in a box.
Yeah, like I'm God created me here on this earth, and it's like I'm gonna serve Him by just being the best I could possibly be, by attracting everything that I could possibly be and everything I could do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
For His glory. Yep. And one thing that I do want to touch up on before we close up this episode is who you surround yourself, because I think that is very important when it comes to developing mindset. And I don't want us to necessarily talk about things that a lot of people already talk about with, obviously, who you surround yourself is who you become, which is very true. And that's where you start from, because that is how it is. But let's talk about like our personal experiences with each other too and stuff. Because look, let's be honest. When I have Mike, Georgie in this room and stuff, and we have to say, I'm not going to say, yo, boys, what are we having for cheat meal? Or when are we going to eat that pizza?
It's just like, not bro, be a topic. You silly?
And that's silly. The thing. You will call me out on
what
it.
What are you talking about?
You'll be like, nah, bro, I'm not compromising that plan. And it will, you know, once, twice, three times,
we're gonna
five
have
times
steak.
Eventually,
we're gonna have steak. That's gonna be
I'm
going
to be like, all right, yo, Mike's not coming along. Why is he doing that? And I have to question myself and question you as well. It's like, yo, Mike, why aren't you doing this? Tell me about your standards. You tell me about what are your standards on why you're not engaging in these type of stuff. And I think about these stuff. I kind of come along and try your ways. Try my good ways, these type of stuff. And then you develop the environment within
complete
each other.
Mind.
Exactly. Where it's just like, I'm not going to bring this up with Mike. Not because he says no every time. It's because why should I indulge in stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. like we're sharpened because we sharpen each other, right? It's
right.
It's that whole verse about iron.
Iron sharpens iron.
Sharpens iron. And it's the whole idea about like having a mastermind of people. Like it's not just one person. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, right? It used to be 5. And when we used to have 5 minds together, we would just be, it's like with swords and we're constantly just
sharpening
like
each other,
battling each other. And we got sharp because of that. Why? Because we all came together and we had the experience of bouncing off each other's minds and ideas.
Get a little bit from each other,
Exactly.
Yeah, so what, George, do you have anything to say about like that? Like your experience with surrounding yourself with, because dude, our friend group was very different, right? So we were in the same friend group. Our friend group was very different from how it is now. It's not as big. And if it is, if we do go where there's a lot of people in that specific environment, it is very mindful people, at least for the most part. And people that are actually, you know, there to improve their life and spiritually and mentally and physically. And if they're not, we're helping them. We're giving them advice. If we see that they don't really want to come along, there's nothing you can do. You can't drag them. But for the most part, it's like you desire to put yourself in a situation where people want to think big. People want to be mindful. People want to be disciplined. You desire to be in those situations. If it's not that type of situation, not going to lie, I second guess that. I go, should I really be there? Or, you know what I mean? Or should I really hang out with them? Should I give this thing every weekend type of look to it? That I go hang out with these people that I don't really want to, and I'm coping with it because giving myself a bunch of excuses why to. But in reality, I do know damn well that who you surround yourself is who you become. You pick up on the habits of their own too.
Yeah, I'll tell you why, because that sword analogy is actually really good. Thanks to me. Now I'll say what like why it's still good too, because let's just say that you're talking to someone and you guys don't question each other. It's like not battling each other. It's not like sharpening each other's iron. So if you're just going about your day, not questioning anybody, not battling, not like questioning people's beliefs, even though you want to fight them, even though you want to clash with them, you want to keep your sword in your handle. And then years down the line, you're dull. You're not that sharp because you didn't question. You didn't think. You didn't battle with anyone.
Right.
It's the same idea.
Next thing you know, your sword is rusted. It's dull because he hasn't been sharpened.
Yeah.
Because you never used it. It was just there, unproductive.
And that's when
that's your mind too.
That's when those people are easy to overcome because they don't question sharpen anything.
They don't sharpen that sword. And in this case, the mind.
I like to be around with people that are straight up, like literally tell you straight up how things are. Because I'm that type of person. Not that I don't like to consider it, but I put more value on what the actual thing is. What I am telling you and how I'm telling you really matters, because in a lot of cases, things that I want to go around with is me being fake. And the reason why I say this is because, for example, if I see Mike's doing something bad and I want to make him feel good, the only way I can do that is if I go around what he's actually doing is bad, right? So if Mike's smoking and I want to make him feel good, I'll tell him, it's okay, dude. One day you'll just stop smoking. But if I want to be realistic, I have to tell him,
throw it out. Day one, right now.
Throw it out. Or I have to tell him all these things that will happen to him that will scare him at that moment. From that point on, he will have to make a decision, knowing that it's back of his mind that if I don't stop smoking, my brain cells are going to die, for example. You're gonna be less
cognitively functioning properly. Your lung,
your mind's gonna be less aware of things.
Yeah,
you're gonna be in this. You're gonna be mentally weak because you're not able to
break out of the cycle.
Take away the very thing that is bringing you down in the first place.
Right,
it
starts
from these little things. But the moment I'm gonna be nice to Mike is. Could be detrimental to him because it might make him feel good, but he won't change anything, right?
Yeah.
The idea of you being real with them is you sharpening them. Otherwise, really, anyone that has told you something in a short way, to make you feel good, it lasted very little time. And then now you start to see that your habits don't change. And then there comes a time where one person just straight up gets tired of making you, telling you nice way, and they tell you straight up how it is, and that's that when you change. When you, that's when you change, and that's why it's, you know, very important. I don't know why people. I think this generation needs to actually step up, especially men. They need to hear things as they've said, as somebody's telling you, not how you feel. Because sometimes you have to also look at it in a, one way where it's like, yeah, the guy's telling me something because maybe because I actually like that and I need to hear this. But people are all emotions. And when you mix emotions with facts, you get lost and you don't find the evidence. The you know what I mean? You really don't. Because facts don't have emotions. They really don't. Like, if something is true and you're fat, and I'm telling you, you are fat, like, I'm not lying to you. You know you're fat. You just don't like somebody calling you out for it. And that's your own problem, not my problem. You know what I mean? I'm okay over here. I, you know, I'm fit right now. I'm healthy. If anything, if I have to go run, or if somebody's chasing me to kill me, I'll run. But you won't. You'll fall after a minute and you'll be killed. You'd be slaughtered, but I.
Wait. Not, we're gonna continue.
Yeah, but like my point being is, I'm good at where I am. But you know, me telling you this, you have to actually appreciate this, that I'm going out of my way because I'm good where I am. But I'm telling this because I want you to be here as well. We need to see that side.
And that's why the word is like a sword. It cuts deep. It runs deep because it's like your sword that you go around. You clash with people, and that's when.
But what if I'm not a violent person? I don't want to use the sword, Mike.
Well, then you'll get taken over. You'll get slain. You'll keep your sword in your
side, and you'll get hurt. Take it out.
You'll get hurt if you don't. And that's what I was going to bring up, the point where it's like a brave thing to go out there and sharpen other people or get sharpened. Right.
Right.
It's not easy to kind of come out here and like just say your opinion or question people. It's not easy because the moment you question things, people are like, yo, like,
are you judging? Are you judging?
Yeah. Yeah. They like question you. And then all of a sudden, like, you feel attacked. It's like, no, like, attack back. That's good. Like, be brave.
Right. And especially when you give it a very, very healthy, look to it. Meaning you questioning something and they do it back to you and they say, all right, I did this. What about you? This type, and it becomes so healthy to the point where you know your intention on sharpening each other with love. Bro, nothing beats that. But if it's just jealousy and envy, like, oh, you did this and I did that. Well, now let's just count what we've done that we're bad and, you know, have this little battle with each other that is unhealthy. Because it can get like that if there's no right intention coming from both sides. It's like, are you trying to call out somebody to make yourself good about something? Or are you trying to call out somebody because you're there to help them and be there for them if they need help? You know what I mean? So,
and you have to take, obviously, you have to also be nice to someone. Of course, you're not like, you don't want to just like how I said, like, you're fat and you need to start working out. Obviously not like that, but you know, sometimes it's just necessary. Like, people need to understand that it is necessary. And I don't think you should really not like that approach because, you know, I feel like once you submit to God, you start to understand that everything, when you read the Bible, you actually start to see yourself in a lot of verses. It's like, for example, it says, do not lie. You see yourself there, like, you're lying. You're a liar. Right. And it's kind of revealing.
Fool guys really like me in the Bible. Yeah.
Like, this is literally me, you know, like, or a hypocrite. Oh, this is actually me. It won't feel good. You can either close that Bible and never pick it up ever again because it's hurting your emotions, or you can pick it up to sharpen yourself. You know, God will sharpen you if you want to hear the truth. And the truth does hurt, but it makes you strong.
The truth will set you free.
Yeah, it sets you free.
Yeah. Hey! We
got it. Amen. Iron sharpens iron, brother.
Yeah.
All right. Go Christian culture. We do hot topics.
Yes.
Hot topic.
I agree.
We just talked about hot topic, bro.
Mike starts.
I'm literally sweating right
whatever
now.
Whatever the question is, Mike starts.
All right. Yo, what?
Dude. I pick a different one. Because we picked up one earlier.
Dude, what are the chances? So this is what happened. Before we start the podcast, Mike picked this card out.
I picked the card out.
All right, read it.
From the middle. And now I just randomly picked this out and it's the same question.
I'll give his answer. Why not?
If you were Peter, what would you have done when the soldiers came or to arrest Jesus? Yo, tell them what you said though.
I said, I'll finish the job. I'll finish the job what Peter didn't do.
Yo.
But obviously, you can't go against the biblical events because it led up to how it did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if I was, what
was it? So when they Peter, came to arrest Jesus, they were Roman soldiers and stuff. And keep in mind, Peter at the time, you have to kind of put yourself in his shoes, is he knew that they were going to hurt him. They knew that they were going to take him and all that kind of stuff.
What's the right answer here, right? If I know, if I read the Bible, I know what's going to happen. The right answer is to be like, you mean trust in Jesus. That's it. Do nothing and trust in Jesus. Don't get myself hurt in the process. Don't have like, it's almost like Peter like acted out of ego in a sense, because he was just like, no, not him. Like, not me. Like,
but he didn't know that Jesus could do anything.
Yeah, exactly. And so like my original, my original answer to that was to stop the resurrection, or to stop Jesus from resurrecting. But, and he won't die, but he had to die. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, that's really what I would say is you know, with the understanding that we have now, is what would you have done? You would let him do his purpose, what he was here to do. And that's what even Jesus intended Peter to do. He says, Satan, get behind me, when he was carrying the cross and stuff, and he had to. He
said what?
He said, Satan, get behind me, because he pretty much, and what he meant there was not literal Satan, some people to understand is, because you would be surprised how many people actually think that, oh, why would Jesus call him that and that type of stuff? But the context is, he knew his purpose. He knew he had to do something. So anything that somebody's telling you not to do, that is against the will of your Father, which is the example that he really portrays there, is that when you are carrying your cross and you're about to carry that cross that Jesus gave you and called you to carry, and somebody else gets in your way of that, that is indeed Satan. Either through somebody, in a very subtle way. Now, this doesn't mean that the person is satanic, but this just means that, you know, because Satan can work through deceivement in very, very subtle ways, even in the most nice way that somebody's like, yo, dude, you don't have to do this. But when you truly feel like you have to do something, especially as big responsibility as what Jesus was doing, that's why he told them that is, I have to do this because taking on your sins.
Gosh.
You're getting phone calls, man.
Devil, man. Get behind me. Okay. For the day.
I guess Georgie said.
Yeah, you read it.
I agree.
You want me to read it?
No, Georgie's answer on this is I agree, I guess, right?
Oh wait, yeah. Answer the question.
Yeah, I mean, knowing the Bible and how things had to happen and the way it had to happen because for a greater cause, which I thank Jesus Christ for that.
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior. I mean, I was just move aside and let him do his thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Save us. But I don't know. It's like, I think at that time when they didn't know that much as we know, I'd probably done the same thing because we're all humans.
Yeah. Right?
You never know. Him,
yeah. But I'd finish the job. Anyways.
What do you mean by finish the job? Like,
yeah, the Roman soldiers? They're not getting Jesus, man.
Because Peter cut off his ear.
No, so. I know.
Cut off both ears, maybe?
He would have grown back the
both
ears.
I want one of them.
Go ahead, quote of the day, Mike.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6.
Amen. Shout out on TikTok by at Christian Talk
with the Jesus symbol
with the cross. Cross, right?
Yeah.
With a cross.
Fire clip. Fire clip, guys.
Jesus emoji. Or, yeah, cross emoji.
Fire clip.
It belongs to Jesus. Cross.
That's what I mean.
Fire clip, guys. Thank you.
Fire emoji.
Yeah, it was Isaiah's, right?
Fire emoji.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Sweet.
I think that wraps up the episode.
So, Georgie, we asked 3 questions for every single guest.
Yep.
From
you again.
What's the first one?
Wow.
What's your best advice to someone?
Have a relationship with God.
3, 2, 1. Think big, grow big.
Peace.
Yeah.
Pictures and